Gail. Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to those who have come to the realization that all of the world's religious, political, economic, military, and media institutions are corrupt, counterproductive, working against our interest, not worthy of your trust nor loyalty. I am Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us anytime over the next couple of hours, toll-free, 877-300-7645. I genuinely hate that commercial. The military Bible stick. Oh, boy, you can buy an electronic version of the Christian New Testament to give to our troops. $25 gives hope to our heroes. I want to tell you, there ain't nobody, not one person in the U.S. military that's a hero of mine. Everything they have done in the past decades, two decades, three decades, has made bad situations worse. Universally, without exception. Consistently made bad situations worse. And some of the behavior of our military overseas has just been despicable. Now, the fact is, we ought not have a military. We'd be eminently safer without one. Thomas Jefferson recognized that and made it extraordinarily clear that an established military was the single worst thing a country could have. As much as he hated church or religion imposed by the state, which was the conditions throughout Europe, an amalgamation of church and state, as much as he hated that, as much as he hated the concept of a central bank, the thing that he was the most eloquent on is the consequence to all forms of freedom, all forms of rational thought, all forms of morality, was the consequence of an established military. He was right. And this notion that you would spend $25 to purchase something that you didn't write. You didn't even translate accurately. That probably cost a grand total in terms of production cost of about a quarter to make. Talk about making merchandise out of men. What a terrible thing to do. And then on top of all that, it produces this lie that says, I know no matter where I am in the battle, where I am engaged in the war, I know that God is on my side. No, he is not. You may want to read the statements that he etched in stone. Making a practice of killing is something he disdains. That's what the military is trained to do. No, he is not on your side. He's not on America's side. He's not on the military side. He wants people to walk away from country. There is no institution more patriotic, more in step with nationalism and country than the military. They carry its colors. They fight and kill and destroy in its name. The very thing that God says, if you're going to establish a relationship with me, if you're going to walk by my side, you're going to walk away from. I know for certain that God is not on my side. But I also know for certain, because I have paid attention to and I've accepted the terms and conditions of the covenant, that I'm on his side. It's a shame that we have institutions like the military Bible stick. It's why God hates religion. It's why when we enter the millennial Shabbat, when he returns, the first thing he's going to do is rebuke all of those who have been religious, who have promoted religion. And he's going to ask them the question we read in Zechariah. Why did you do this? Why did you willingly and knowingly bring bring harm on those people through this product. Why'd you do that? And they will, of course, like all religious people, will deflect responsibility. But we're going to hold them responsible here. Moving on to the top item in the news, the Obaminator announced today that he is going to slow the withdrawal. He's going to have a withdrawal hiatus. I guess that's like the Big Bang Theory with coitus interruptus. No, we are going to maintain a sizable troop presence in Afghanistan. You know, after all, 15 years is just not enough. No, we haven't done anything productive. We've made a bad situation horribly worse over these last 15 years. So why not? Why not just continue to do that which hasn't worked, that which has been destructive? Let's just continue to keep American troops there so that they can die there, so that they can kill there, so that they can destroy there, so that they can prolong the agony, so that they can continue to exacerbate the situation so that, in addition to the 4 million people who have already fled Afghanistan as a result of America's belligerence there, America's invasion there, maybe we can get another 4 million refugees out of Afghanistan. They define insanity as continuing the same behavior and expecting a different result. Is this not indication that the President of the United States is insane? As he delays his planned pullout of Afghanistan. Speaking of Afghanistan, I don't know how many of you have seen the pictures. I would encourage you to do so. The pictures of the hospital America bombed, just obliterated. Oh, it's disgusting. Everything in that hospital is destroyed. But there are pictures in that hospital that show clothing on beds with body parts like feet still hanging out of them where the bulk of the body is just incinerated. Blood everywhere. And what's amazing here, it's not just civilian Afghanis that were caught in the crossfire between the retreating Afghan army that America armed and deployed and the Taliban that America temporarily pushed out of Afghanistan into Pakistan, who have now returned and control huge swaths of Afghanistan. Most of the victims were Doctors Without Borders, doctors who went in there to try to minimize the pain. We killed them. I mean, how can a nation that claims to have smart airplanes and smart weapons and smart people in organizations like the NGIC, National Ground Intelligence Center, outside of Charlottesville, Virginia, that by the tens of thousands pour through satellite imagery around the world and depict the targets that we should attack. Pick a hospital where one of the most famous organizations in the world, Doctors Without Borders, have a substantial presence, and bomb the hospital. You know, even if the morons that we had on the ground that were aiding and abetting the defense of this town from the Taliban, and by the way, the people preferred the Taliban over the goons that America had deployed there because of their behavior, their tendency to enslave little boys and gang rape them. That even if the Taliban had infiltrated the hospital and were using the hospital as a vantage point for snipers, even if that were true, No one in their right mind would order the bombing of the hospital. We bombed the hospital. We knowingly bombed the hospital. We claim that we bombed the hospital because the Afghans asked us to bomb the hospital. You don't bomb a hospital. I don't give a hoot if there were 100 Taliban in the hospital. As it turns out, according to the surviving Doctors Without Borders, there wasn't a single Taliban in the hospital. The hospital was not part of the battle. We got bad information and then made an even worse decision. This just shows you how far we have fallen as a country, how incapable we are of exercising good moral judgment. 22 people lost their lives. 37 more were scarred for life, according to the humanitarian group Medecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders. The photos of the hospital, which I have seen, show it in total ruins. Medical equipment and furniture charred by fire, and people, body parts, all over, littered throughout the scene. We killed 12 members of Doctors Without Borders. We killed 10 patients within the hospital itself. This is an amazing story in itself. It's not nearly as dramatic, but artist hired by the makers of the U.S. show Homeland wrote graffiti on one of its sets in Berlin, criticizing the show's alleged stereotypes of Arabs and Muslims. The artist wrote graffiti saying, "Homeland is racist. Homeland is rubbish." Imagine that. You're hired to write signs, and that's what you write. You write signs that take the show out of its, you know, make-believe world and try to pretend it that it is for real. And then on a show, Homeland, that is devoted to a institution that George W. Bush created, Homeland Security, which has been established for one reason, you ignore that. So these artists are graffiti artists, they were. I littered the set with slogans that Homeland is racist and the like, because of its Arab and Islamic stereotypes. Now, if you're depicting a stereotype of a Muslim being a terrorist, it's not the only reason for the stereotype is because it's accurate. You know, 99% of today's terrorist acts are perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims. And so if you're going to depict a terrorist, you would be it'd be irrational, it'd be ignorant to predict present a terrorist as anything other than a Muslim. You know, it's like most anything else. If you want to show a beehive, you don't show a picture of ants. You know, if you want to show a bear den, you don't show a picture of chipmunks. If you want to depict those perpetrating terrorist acts, you need to show pictures of terrorists, and they almost exclusively are Muslims today. If you don't like the stereotype, then stop being a Muslim. Speak out against the religion that is promoting 99.9% of the world's terrorist acts. Now, Homeland is a program named after the Department of Homeland Security. The Department of Homeland Security is a direct result. It is an immediate consequence. It was established exclusively because of Islamic terrorist attacks on America. How in the world can you have a program named after and devoted to a department established as a direct result of Islamic terrorist attacks not depict Muslims engaged in terrorism? And to call that racism is to be absolutely moronic. It's to say, as so many religious people are today, I cannot accept responsibility for the actions of my group, of my affinity, that I'm incapable of understanding that Islam is responsible for the terrorist acts it perpetrates in the name of its God. Just thoughtless. And it's just amazing that somebody could write a story like this and yet not think it through. Speaking of people not thinking it through, about 2 weeks ago, the headlines were dominated by a staffer who had been dismissed for failure to perform his job. He was just lousy at his job. And he was dismissed because he was inadequate. You know, it's hard to get dismissed in a public committee, but this staffer evidently was just horrendous at his job, lazy and incompetent. He was dismissed. And so the staffer, when he was dismissed, tried to elicit funds from the committee, you know, a severance package to secure his silence. They said, no, only thing for just trying to secure your silence. You're being let go because you did a lousy job. And so this staffer went to the press and said that the reason he quit, he didn't quit, he was fired, was that the committee on Benghazi was nothing but a political witch hunt to get Hillary Clinton, and that he didn't want to be part of this witch hunt to get Clinton, and that he said he was constantly told, even by the head of the committee, that the purpose of the committee was to disparage and disgrace Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton ought to be disgraced just based on the evidence that is available to us on Benghazi. She knowingly and purposefully lied about the nature of the attack, as did the President of the United States. But the fact is that the media, when they were celebrating this story because they wanted to promote that same lie, that the media didn't bother to do any fact-checking. So the head of the Benghazi committee spoke Sunday, and he discredited the former staffer's claim that he was fired for not joining in a partisan-driven effort to tarnish Hillary Clinton, saying that he never even spoke to the staffer. So this idea that he told him that what the purpose was to go off and tarnish Hillary Clinton's reputation is utter nonsense, and yet all the media wrote it, and none of them wrote retractions. He never even spoke to this staffer. The South Carolina representative, Trey Gowdy, chairman of the House Select Committee on Benghazi, said he never met with the staffer. Investigator and Air Force Reserves officer Bradley Podliska. And that Podliska was, in fact, warned about his own efforts to discredit Clinton, who was Secretary of State from 2009 to 2013. The truth is exactly the opposite of what the Air Force Reserves officer had to say. But then he's coming out of an institution where officers in the U.S. military have been shown to prefer lies over truth. So who are you going to believe? To complete this article, the chairman of the House Special Committee on Benghazi not only said that that the staffer was actually reprimanded for trying to discredit Clinton, and the evidence does that by itself, you don't have to go out of your way to do it, but that he says, because I don't know him and never spoke to him, I can say for certain that he was never instructed by me to focus on Clinton, nor would he be a credible person to speak on my behalf. And yet none of the major periodicals, all that ran with this story, printed a retraction. He also said that the reserve U.S. Air Force officer, Podliska, never mentioned Clinton from when he was during the time that he was counseled about his deficient performance to the time that he was fired through the entire legal mediation process, you know, in the U.S. government. Man, you really got to be inept to get fired. So he had to go through a whole entire legal mediation process just to be fired about deficient performance. And during the entire time, according to the records that were taken all along the way of everything that everyone said to one another, he never even mentioned Clinton. This U.S. Reserves officer, Bradley Podlyska, is a liar. Furthermore, Gowdy said, Podlyska has run to the press with his news and salacious allegations only after failing to get money from the committee. Blackmail. Man should go to jail. The very thing that we said was going to happen between China and the United States is beginning to develop. The foreign ministry spokesperson for China alluded to the U.S. when she blamed some countries for flexing their military muscles again and again in the South China Sea. Last week, U.S. officials said they were considering sailing warships in an area around the Spratly Island chain where China claims as territory. It has sparked a tit-for-tat exchange between China and the United States. China has been worrying its neighbors and the U.S. by enlarging the series of tidal islands, reports that we think that they are trying to establish military bases there. Well, that would be really stupid. You're just the idea of establishing a military base in a man-made island off the coast of Malaysia is insane. Washington believes Beijing is constructing military facilities designed to reinforce its disputed claim to this island chain that it itself is manufacturing. China says that its work is legal and needed to safeguard its sovereignty. The fact of the matter is most of it's being used to drill for oil. The dispute began when U.S. officials said they were considering sending warships inside the 12-mile nautical mile zone that China claims as its territory around the Spratlys. That sparked strong words and a response from China, said, "We will never allow any country to violate China's territorial waters and airspace in the Spratly Islands in the name of protecting freedom of navigation and overflight." On Tuesday, U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter said, "We have strong concerns over the island building," and defended Washington's plans. He says, "Make no mistake, the United States will fly, will sail, and will operate wherever international law allows. And we do so around the world, and the South China Sea will not be an exception. We will do it at a time and place of our choosing." Boy, let's just ramp up the rhetoric for war. We've already got a war in the making with Russia. So why don't we try to get a war going with China? And in addition to the fact that Russia and China are the only superpowers in the world other than the United States, so the United States is now in opposition to the world's number two and number three superpower. But in addition to that, we're fighting the most belligerent, terrorist-motivated group of people in the world, 1.5 billion Muslims throughout the Middle East. And while they would never be called a superpower, their tactics of terrorism, of attacking the soft, defenseless targets, makes them a formidable foe because of their lack of morality. And so you have America at war with Islam, America at war now of both indeed and in place with the Russians, and America trying to pick a war with China. What part of that sounds sane to you? This story is just incredibly sad. Two teenagers were beaten for several hours in a deadly assault perpetrated by their parents and other church members of the Word of Life Church during a counseling session. during a counseling session where the alleged attempt was to elicit a confession of sin. The parents and other church members beat one boy to death and beat the other to the point he's in critical condition. You imagine your religious instruction in Christianity is so perverted, is so repulsive, that rather than uplifting your children, rather than teaching your children the Torah, prophets, and Psalms as God instructed, rather than loving them, rather than nurturing them, rather than protecting them, in your world of life church, oh, this is not the world of life, but the word of life church, you and other church members in a counseling session beat one of your sons to death and the other to critical condition. And you know how they beat them? They hit them in the groin over and over again. They were beaten in hopes that the brothers would confess their sins. What in the hell would that do? Let's just say the brothers are just like everybody else. Let's say they have things that they ought not have done. What good is confessing your sins? I mean, really, tell me. What helpful is it? Why bother to do it? If you're a member of the covenant, God doesn't see them. You're forgiven for them. That's the whole nature of the process. So why would, what would the purpose be? What's to be gained? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What is it? If they confess their sins to the church, that the church will forgive them? They've got no power, no influence with God. And why is a beating the proper means to do this? If you were, you know, if you're saying, no, I've been doing something I shouldn't be doing, God, and, you know, I'm going to really try to avoid that in the future. That's one thing. To say, you know, there's some stuff that I've been doing that I really ought not be doing in the future. It's not good for our relationship. Yeah, probably a good discussion. But to be forced into confessing a sin does no one any good under any circumstance. Just think how warped these people's mindset is. Lucas Leonard, 19, died of his injuries, which included multiple contusions of the torsos and extremity, according to the New Hartford police chief at a news conference. Christopher Leonard, 17, remains in serious condition. Police said fists and feet were used in the beatings, and they occurred following a worship service at the New York church on Sunday night. Of course, on Sunday night, the Lord's Day. Lucas was brought to the hospital by his family, not on Sunday, not even on Monday morning, but on Monday afternoon. This is the one who is dead. They killed him on Sunday evening. They brought his dead body to the hospital on Monday afternoon. But Christopher, the one they beat into submission, wasn't even found until several hours later. They didn't even bring him to the hospital. Family members were allegedly reluctant to share information, and it wasn't until Christopher emerged on his own from a second-floor room that police were able to locate him. Bruce Leonard, 65, and Deborah Leonard, the perpetrators, were charged with first-degree manslaughter. Murder. That's what it should have been. On Tuesday, in Lucas's death, because cops alleged they intended to kill him. Four other church members were charged with assault. David Morey, 26, Linda Morey, 54, Sarah Ferguson, 33, and Joseph Irwin, 26. You are talking about really, really lost souls. At the arraignment, it was revealed that both teens suffered serious injuries to their genitals, their backs and their thighs. Authorities removed 7 children, 2 to 15, from the church. 4 of the kids were Ferguson's. The other 3 weren't related, police said. Now, I can't blame all of Christianity for inspiring such despicable behavior. And I would never blame Christianity as a whole for inspiring this behavior. But I will tell you that this occurred in a Word of Life Christian church and was supported by the church itself, known to the church, part of the church's regimen. Now, the next story I'm going to tell is institutionalized, and therefore we can blame the institution, which happens to be by far and away the largest cult within within Christianity, the Roman Catholic Church. Pope Francis, Bergoglio, asked for forgiveness on Wednesday for scandals at the Vatican and in Rome, an apparent reference to the 2 cases of priests and gay sex revealed this month during a major meeting of bishops. You know, if you want to be accountable, Poper, Mr. Popery, what you do is you disclose all of the internal documentation that you have on not only priests committing pedophilic acts against children, all of it, every bit of evidence that you have, every disclosure ever made to the church. You do that. And you're very specific about it. And then you have a very specific plan to deal with it going forward. Now listen to what the Pope said. Today in the name of the church, not today in the name of Yahweh, not today in the name of God, although he doesn't know what that name is, I ask you for forgiveness. The name of the church, I know the church had a name, unless it's the Roman Catholic Church. I ask you for forgiveness for the scandals that have occurred recently, either in Rome or in the Vatican, Bergoglio said in unprepared remarks. So I would ask, first let me state, before I ask, is he apologizing for the last 100 years of the Roman Catholic Church sodomizing and abusing hundreds of thousands of little boys, and for the church covering up that information and protecting its reputation rather than trying to reach out to and mend the broken hearts and minds of those that abused? No. It's recent. Recent. Only the recent. Now, this is my question. I'm going to ask you, Kirk, if you abused a little girl living next door, sexually abused her. You went out and you coerced her, and then you sexually abused routinely, regularly, the girl next door, and that you and your wife covered it up. You were obvious that you did it, and you tried to cover it up. And then you had a little press conference, and you said, you know, I want, in the name of our house, I want forgiveness for that which we have done, and you don't specify what it is. And you ask for forgiveness. Would you be forgiven, or would you still be guilty of that crime and have to be accountable for that crime?
Well, you're still guilty no matter what. I mean, this is just, that's disgusting. I mean, how are you going to get off? Who's going to let you off the hook for that?
Yeah, you know, if you did that and you told the judge, listen, I'm sorry. I ask for your forgiveness, Judge. Is the judge going to say, oh, well, in that case, here, walk out free. We'll exonerate you.
No, they still throw you in jail or throw you under the bus or hang you or something.
Yeah. And because the Roman Catholic Church not only committed these crimes by the hundreds of thousands, they did something far worse. And that they covered them up.
And continued it.
And continued it. Yeah.
Now, I want you to remind people that you did all these stories on this, that it was one of the big friends of the guy who supplied him with so many priests who did that.
Yeah, the billion-dollar fundraiser priest down there in Mexico that was a drug addict, was involved in pedophilic activities and both homosexual and heterosexual sex. And he was, you know, Pope John Paul would look the other way because he raised so much money for the church and billions of dollars, and because in a church that now can't recruit priests, I mean, who wants to be a priest? He supplied more of them than anyone else. Now, they were damaged goods, but they looked the other way and did everything they could to accommodate this man who was abusive in every possible way.
That was a conscious decision.
Correct. Yeah, in fact, he was the Legion of Christ was his organization. Yeah, we covered his whole story in great detail.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I will never order a Domino's pizza. The owner of Domino's was created that city, the city of Maria, Ave Maria, I think, but whatever it is, down there in Florida, and donated millions. I think it was like $100 million to this scumbag. You know, it's just repulsive. And then you've got Jeb Bush converting to Roman Catholicism in the midst of all of that. And these guys are just scum.
When you did Zechariah 14:2 and you translated Goyim, animalistic, uncivilized people, that made perfect sense in this context.
Boy, doesn't it ever? You know, when he's speaking of Goyim, he's speaking of those that comprise the Christian church. And they, as we will return in a moment to Zechariah 14, he's talking to you, Christian, and he's not pleased. He views you as in opposition to him. Bible stick or not, we'll be back.